Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, October the 13th. And welcome to our commentary. Well, the big story this morning, the last couple of days, really, but today, more information came out about inflation. And I wish I could tell you better because it impacts me as well. But the inflation numbers were, as they say, higher than expected. And basically, you know, it's a complicated report. It's a long report. But there's two things that really stand out when you go inside the numbers. The first one is that the price of food went up 13%. So the price of food is really the killer here because that's what's going right at families, 13%. And that is devastating. I mean, look, you know, most of us live on a budget and, you know, we obviously, you know, have to live within our means. But when the price of food goes up 13%, I guarantee you most people did not get an increase in their salary of 13% over the last year. So that's a killer. That 13%, that is a killer for most American families. The other big number, too, was rent. Now, a lot of us are fortunate that we don't pay rent, but or, you know, we have our own property or whatever, so at least the mortgage is steady. But if you're out there in the market and you're renting and you're looking for an apartment this fall or a house, it is nasty. The increases are really coming down very hard. Now, it varies, of course, from region to region, but overall, the rents are going up at an alarming rate. So those two things, the cost of rent, the cost of food, and then some of the other things that happen when those two go up. Obviously, if the price of gasoline goes up and it's going to go up even more over the next few weeks. So all of these, I mean, if you're at the White House, if you're a Democrat, this is probably the worst possible report about inflation that you could have gotten 2 weeks before the election. So this is just a bad report. I wish I could tell you something better, but I can't. It's just a very bad report. Well, President Biden was a special guest on the Jake Tapper Show on CNN, and this is the amazing thing to me. They have the President of the United States on a primetime show, and it barely gets a million people. And when you look into the numbers, you know, the demos that they like to follow, it's like way down. I mean, it's like number three in the cable news ratings, behind Fox News, behind MSNBC, and here comes CNN with her interview of the President of the United States. I mean, I can understand if regular programming at CNN is number three behind Fox and MSNBC. It's been that way for a while. But you have the President of the United States on CNN for a primetime interview, and it gets a horrible audience. You know, that tells you two things that are going on. Number one, apparently nobody cares what President Biden says. No, nobody's following him. You know, he's going out one ear and out the other, and people are just paying no mind. The other thing I think it tells you a lot about Jake Tapper and CNN. You know, Jake Tapper, I don't know how many of you remember this, but at one time he used to work for ABC, and he was their White House reporter for ABC. And he was actually a decent reporter back then. You know, he would represent himself professionally at the press conferences. He had a good reputation for being a good reporter, somebody who would, you know, go down the middle and not play partisan. Then he went over to CNN. And I don't know whether he was forced to do this or whether he was enjoying doing this, but he became just another reporter at CNN obsessed with Trump. Now Trump is not around anymore, so Jake Tapper and all the others are, you know, really struggling in the ratings. But when you watch that interview, and I had a chance to see clips of it, I couldn't see it live. I was tied up because I teach in the evening, so I couldn't watch it. But when you saw clips of that interview, you realize, you know, how bad Jake Tapper was. First of all, he allows the President of the United States to say that there's no recession. Well, that's not true. There is a recession. Let me say hello to my friend, I am. There is a recession. It's called two consecutive quarters. So we've had a recession. So he never didn't challenge the president of the United States on his assessment of the economic situation. The other thing that was really, you know, horrific to watch is the interview about Hunter Biden, or the portion about Hunter Biden. Look, there's two stories in the Hunter Biden story. There's two. The first one is about his addictions and his problems, his personal problems. That's a personal story. I personally don't care about that. I am sympathetic to anybody who's had addiction problems and has overcome them. Apparently, that's the case of Hunter Biden. So, you know, I can see where Joe Biden, the father, would say, look, I'm proud of my son. He had addiction problems and he overcame them. In that respect, I have no problem with that. But that's not the issue. It's not his addiction problems. The issue is that Hunter Biden, at least on the surface, it appears that he was using his father's name and at times even flying on his father's airplane to do business. I mean, he was given an amazing position on the board of directors of a Ukraine energy company. Here's a guy who had no experience whatsoever in the energy field, and he gets a high-ranking position as a director in a Ukraine oil company. His father was working with Ukraine as vice president. These are the kinds of questions that we need answers for. But you're not going to get them from Jake Tapper, because he basically just gave the president of the United States a pass. Now, look, you can respectfully ask these questions. You don't have to be shouting at the president, but you can ask him. You can ask direct questions. And obviously, Jake Tapper did not ask him. And that's why nobody takes him seriously as a reporter. And that's why nobody takes CNN seriously as a news agency, because they're not asking questions. They're still obsessed with Trump. But unfortunately, the obsession with Trump is killing CNN, as we can see in the ratings. So it was a very bad interview. By the way, speaking of President Biden and his son, you know, he lost a son, I think his first son, oldest son. He lost him to cancer a few years ago. Very sad situation. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to the president and his family about that. But yesterday, the president of the United States was speaking and said that his son was lost in Iraq. Well, no, he was not lost in Iraq. His son was not a casualty of war. His son did serve in Iraq, and we respect him for that, but he didn't die in Iraq because of battles or anything like that. He was not a soldier. That's not how he died. But, you know, this is the stuff that he gets away with, and he never gets challenged. He never gets challenged by anybody in the media. And that's, unfortunately, one of the reasons the media continues to lose credibility with the American people. How does a man say that I lost my son in Iraq when he didn't? We're talking about the commander-in-chief. We're not talking here about a stranger. We're talking about the commander-in-chief. And he says he lost his son in Iraq when he didn't? That's pretty bad as far as I'm concerned. I have a post over at the American Thinker today talking about how some of the Democrats here in Texas are complaining that the national Democrats are not helping them in South Texas. And as you know, what's happening in South Texas is that there are three very tough districts right now, competitive districts, where there is a possibility that all three are won by three Republican ladies. Monica de la Cruz, Myra Flores, who's currently a congresswoman, and then Cassie Garcia, who's running against Henry Cuellar. And all three of these districts are now competitive, meaning they're toss-ups. And apparently the Democrats are complaining that the National Party is not helping them in South Texas, that if they lose in South Texas, it's because of the National Party. Look, I don't know whether the National Party is helping or not, but I do know one thing. The Texas Democrat Party has left South Texas behind by focusing on all the irrelevant things and going way to the left and becoming a party of the left, whereas South Texas is very conservative, very traditional. And let me tell you something else, too. Energy is a big issue in South Texas because of all of those refineries in Corpus Christi and in South Texas. And when the National Democrat Party becomes anti-oil, that's hurting them in South Texas. So I'm not sure how much here the problem is the National Party or simply the policies or the things that Texas Democrats are saying. You know, yesterday I mentioned that Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Health of Homeland Security, responsible for the border, that he had known about the fact that these agents who were accused of whipping migrants, the fact that that whole thing was a lie. Well, Jonathan Turley, Professor Jonathan Turley, is calling on the Secretary to resign over this, and I think that's true. I think if the Secretary knew a year ago that that whole story was a lie, and yet he went on TV and attacked these Border Patrol agents, man, that guy needs to be out of there. He needs to resign. And again, where was Jake Tapper last night when he was interviewing the president? Why didn't he ask him about this? Important story, as far as I'm concerned. His administration was attacking these Border Patrol agents. Where was Jake Tapper? I guess he did not want to ask that question. You know, a lot of times we talk about healthcare and government healthcare, and I would recommend that you take a look at what's happening in England, where the public healthcare system has completely broken down, and millions of people are waiting in line to get basic services and to get operations. You know, a lot of people like to criticize our private healthcare system, but you know what? It's the best in the world. It works extremely well. And all you got to do is look at the number of Canadians who cross the border every year to get service in our private healthcare clinics, and look at what's happening in the UK. Disaster, millions of people who cannot get healthcare because bureaucratic reasons. You know, that's the problem. Well, we're going to leave you today with a happy birthday, actually a couple of happy birthdays. I want to say happy number 81 to Paul Simon. I'm sure you remember Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Mrs. Robinson. Happy 81 to Paul Simon. And happy number 80 to one of the real personalities here in North Texas, Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I still remember that day in the spring of 1989, I think it was in February, when the big story broke that this guy, Jerry Jones, this guy from Arkansas, was going to buy the Cowboys and that Tom Landry was on his way out. I remember that. I remember it was a big story. In fact, I had just gotten in from Mexico. I had gone to Mexico in business, and I had just gotten in. And I went to, you know, I was at the airport, and I saw the newspaper, and I picked it up, and I read a little bit about it. And then by the time I got home, I guess the next day, they confirmed it. Jerry Jones bought the team in 1989. By 1994, they had three Super Bowls. I mean, very successful run. Since 1994, I don't think, yeah, they have not been back in the Super Bowl. And I think they've been to the NFC Championship game a couple of times, and that's it. So the club did not do as well in the last 30 years as it did in the first five. But that doesn't mean Jerry Jones is a bad owner. But certainly, I'm sure he wishes that the story was a little bit different. 80 years old, Mr. Jerry Jones. I don't know when he's going to hang it up. I mean, he's still running the team. I mean, he's still the micromanager. He does everything. He doesn't want to let go. When he's going to let go, I don't know. But he's, let's just say he's he loves publicity, and he certainly knows how to get it, Mr. Jerry Jones. So I think overall, he's been a good owner, and I like him. But it's just a shame that the team has not been more successful, at least getting to the Super Bowl, or more successful in the postseason than they were those first 5 or 6 years that he was here. Now, some people will say that's because of Jimmy Johnson. I don't know about that, but clearly Jimmy Johnson was a very successful coach as well. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.